All right.
Well, how y'all like that wave of red? Yeah, all right. All right. All right, I think I'm on now. All right, sorry about that. But anyway, we won it. What a blessing that is. And I don't know. I had a feeling, you know. You can have all kinds of feelings during times like this, but I'm glad my feeling was right. But anyway, it is good to be here tonight. Good to see each and every one of you. And it has been a good day today. It's been a long day. We started out, I got a call yesterday, and if I'd come and stand in at Grace this morning, and so we did that. Had a great, great time this morning preaching over at Grace, and I really connected with the young people. I really enjoyed that this morning. And I will say, if you ever want to watch those services, I try to share them on our church page and my own personal Facebook page, and you can watch them there. The girls will sing, and of course, there's a message as well. So we had a good time this morning, and been a busy afternoon. And let me grab a bulletin. I left mine like I always do on Wednesdays, right on my desk. And but let's jump right into our prayer list. Miss Diane Ely is home, and she is home from the hospital. Brother Randy texted me on the way to church and said the eagle has landed at home base. And so I told Brother Ceylon, we were up there yesterday and spent a little time with her and Rand, their son, and she looked pretty good. I mean, she did look good for going through what she went through. And so last week was a very hard week for her, and with the back surgery and everything, and with her potassium being down, blood pressure being down, had to get that up. Fasted for like 2 or 3 days during the week, and two different phases of surgery. She was able to smile and everything. So, but praise the Lord that she's home. And but let's continue to remember everybody on our prayer list. All the hurricane victims, Helene, Milton. Let's remember our children's home and all of our leaders there, house parents there, all of our young people that's here tonight downstairs, all of our teachers downstairs. And let's remember Brother Allen's. He continues to get better. Jim Jr. in his upcoming surgery, we're not really sure. That's to be announced. Let's remember him on that. Let's remember the Palmers. Brother Leonard went today for his immune therapy, and that's going good. They're feeling good. So we thank God for that. And continue to remember my grandparents. Of course, they were here Sunday. And my grandpa, he did something really sweet Sunday morning. I got here, and I don't know, I just thought I'd share it with you. He pulled out of his pocket a little pocket knife, and I recognized it. And it was a pocket knife he's had nearly his entire life. He says, "Son, I want to give this to you, and you put it in your pocket. And every time you reach in your pocket and you feel it, I want you to think of me." I thought that was the sweetest thing ever. You know, and I was shocked when he did that, but what a sweet, sweet gesture he did of that. But James and Shirley Townsend, Miss Claudia, Brother Harold, Don and Carla Rich, Carla's brother over in assisted living, Miss Connie Norton, our shut-ins, Jimmy and Jenny Clanton, Emily McCricker, Joyce Manning, and, of course, James Tolan Brown, Kevin Brook, and Jamie Carden. Remember them as well. All right, well, we'll open up the floor tonight. Maybe someone has a request, a praise, or just something you want to mention. Now be the time, Hassan.
Pray for my friend Eric. His father died last night.
Oh,
he's
sorry. Sorry to hear that, buddy. Thank you for sharing that. We'll remember this. Anybody else? Miss Glenda?
Our granddaughter, Hannah,
sure will. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing that. Mary Kay? Yes. Old Trump, he needs our prayers for sure. Yeah, I almost said Brother Trump. He may be saved. I don't know. Pray for Brother Trump. President Trump. Anybody else? Well, again, as we mentioned on Sunday, Lily's going to be having spinal surgery on December 4th. And we go for pre-op on the 21st of this month. And so if you would, just continue to pray for her. And this is something that we've been looking at for 10 years, her and her scoliosis. We just feel like this is the right time. And you know, she wants to do it. We're backing her in that. And so we're getting things ready for the big day. So appreciate your prayers. Anybody else? Sivan? Good. Yeah. That's amazing. Thank you for sharing that. That's actually inspiring. What do we have to complain about? You know what I'm saying?
Sad part about it is they can't do anything with lung cancer because of his kidney failure. They can't do anything with his kidney failure because of his lung cancer.
That is a situation right there. Thank you for sharing that. We'll remember him. Anybody else?
Justin,
yes.
Before we left, we were looking at a video that was made last night. It's from a Trump watch party in Texas, and the whole group was singing "Come Right Thou Art."
Oh, really?
Awesome. It's awesome. Yeah, it's awesome.
Come out, God or Trump? I just thought I'd poke at you a little bit. Yeah, that's awesome. Definitely they weren't singing that on the other side, were they? On the left they weren't singing that. All right. Anybody else? All right, well, this is the month of November, and so let's remember everything going on. Grab a bulletin, if you would. Again, we've got our Thanksgiving dinner on the 24th at 5 p.m. There's a sign-up sheet behind me, so remember that. And several other things going on. Of course, the Operation Christmas Child box, if you'd like to be involved with that. See Miss Vicki, and then we'll just... keep going on through the month and see what the Lord has for us here. All right. Well, we've got a good crowd here tonight. That's encouraging. And I believe we're up in the 20s tonight. And counting those in the sound room. So praise the Lord for that. We've had some Wednesday nights where we've had 12. And so this is encouraging. I like this. This is great. All right. Well, let's all come, all that would, able and want to, meet us in the altar. We'll have a time of silent prayer together. And then Brother Jeff has a special for us, and then we'll bring the lesson tonight. God has certainly blessed us, didn't he? He blessed us with the new elect president, and I'm sure he will continue to bless. Then again, it's time for the church to rise up and keep the gospel message going, be the light of the world. And Jesus is that light of the world through us. All right, Isaiah 61. Last Sunday morning, we were in Isaiah 42, I believe it was. And Sunday night, we were in Kings, 2 Kings, I believe that was. This morning in chapel, I was in Genesis 36, 37, I believe. And tonight we're going to be in Isaiah 61, verse number 3. And Isaiah 61 and verse number 3. Let's bow for a word of prayer, and then I'm going to introduce this chapter. Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you for all things. Be with us now as we look in your word. Lord, I pray for a touch. God, I pray that you'd give me a clear head, a calm heart. Holy Spirit, help me communicate the truth of your word to the hearts of your people, which only you can do. This isn't just another Wednesday night service. This is a time in our day that we will never get back. There will never be another day like this day. And so I know that you want to speak to us this day. And so I pray you'll give us this day our daily bread. We love you, we thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. This chapter is prophetic as well as the chapter we mentioned on Sunday morning. It's prophetic in nature as much of the book of Isaiah is. Isaiah is known as the little Bible or the mini Bible, a Bible within the Bible. There are 66 chapters here, and we know that there are 66 books of the Bible. And we could go on and on at the parallels of the book of Isaiah, contrasted to the Bible itself. But tonight, Isaiah, a prophet of God, chosen by God to the nation of Israel and surrounding areas. He was a prophet, as you know. And much of his job was to point the people of God, to point the people in general to the coming Messiah. But also, not only is there a prophetic message here in this chapter, in this book, the book of Isaiah, but I believe also there's a practical aspect to it as well. Much of prophecy, there are practical applications wrapped up within them. And tonight I want to look at verse number 3, if I could, for a few moments. And I want to share some very practical things, if I could. Try to be a help, an encouragement to you and I this midweek. Verse number 3, the Bible says, "To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." That's our verse this morning, this evening rather. I want to talk to you on this subject, finding beauty from the ashes tonight. Finding beauty from the ashes. It's not my intent to just share another lesson talking about finding God in your troubles, but I think it's something that we should repeat often, because I don't know anybody that hasn't been going through any troubles or never been through a trouble, some kind of trouble. So a few things tonight when it comes to finding beauty from the ashes, three things that God can do for us during hard times, troublesome times, different times, aggravating times. Three things God can do for us. Number one, God can transform us. He can transform us during difficult times, during hard times, during challenging times, during unchanging times, uncomfortable times. I want you to notice what he says in verse 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. Notice the writer doesn't say beauty instead of ashes. I would like tonight to accept the beautiful things in life and the beautiful gifts from God and bypass the ash heaps of this world, wouldn't you? But the truth be known, tonight we're not going to experience just the beauty of this life and the blessings of God without experiencing some ashes. We know what ashes are. Ashes are the leftovers from a fire. And so he didn't say beauty instead of ashes, but he said beauty for ashes. And in Bible days, those experiencing grief and sorrow or pain would express it by putting on sackcloth and ashes. Now, what was this sackcloth? Well, the sackcloth was basically, in my mind, I think of a old-timey potato sack. Burlap. Empty a potato sack, punch out a hole up, and two on the side. You know, there's your sackcloth. And that's pretty much what it was. But many commentators say that the sackcloth was a coarse, C-O-A-R-S-E, as burlap, a coarse material, a rough material, usually made of black goat's hair or black goat's hair within it. But it made it to be an uncomfortable thing. But the uncomfortableness of the sackcloth would match the uncomfortableness of what the person was going through. You know, it's something that when people are experiencing emotional pain, I've heard reports of teenagers and different kind, even adults, in the day and time which we live, they would do bodily harm to themselves when they're going through deep, dark times. I don't know, it would alleviate the emotional pain by physical pain. Don't do that. You know, don't do that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that in like manner, the sackcloth is an emblem of some kind of distraction for what's going on mentally or emotionally. The person is hurting, and so they put on this kind of garment. Very uncomfortable. But then we get to the ashes part. And the ashes is they would sit on ashes, an ash heap, some kind of pile of ashes, and even they would sprinkle ashes on their head. And all of this signifying desolation and ruin. So when someone died, the act of putting on sackcloth showed heartfelt sorrow for the loss of a person. Now, the Bible says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, not beauty instead of ashes, which we would want, but beauty for ashes. And so I want to say tonight that God can transform us. He can give us beauty for ashes. That's one of the benefits of being a child of God, of knowing Jesus as your personal Savior. Someone said the other day, I just don't see how lost people do it, and I'll echo that. I don't see how lost people live a life myself, go through troubles myself. I just don't see how lost people get through life without God. And so the Lord, He can transform us. He can give us beauty for ashes. Look at that word, beauty. He says beauty. In the Hebrew, it means a headdress. And just remember something I forgot to bring to church tonight as an illustration. It means headdress or bonnet. Yes, I was going to bring a bonnet tonight. headdress or bonnet or turban. So he says he gives beauty for ashes. And when he says this, it's through the idea of some kind of headdressing, a bonnet or turban. And so when we take a stand back and we look at this, the idea is that this Redeemer would impart to his mourning people such an ornament instead of ashes, which in their grief they were accustomed to put on their heads. All right? They would put on the sackcloth and they would scatter ashes on their head. But the Bible says this Redeemer, this Messiah, he has a way of transforming us and giving us a type of ornament, a type of joy, a type of beauty for our ashes. So it's an ornamental headpiece, or it's worn during times of joy. They would actually wear these back in Bible days, this ornament, this headpiece that he's referring to, beauty for ashes. It was worn during times of joy and during good times. But nonetheless, there is a time in life where there will be some bad experiences, some hard times. You don't have to turn there, but in the book of Esther, chapter 4 and verse 1, there was a time when Mordecai learned of Haman's evil plot, you remember that, to kill the Jews. He put on sackcloth and ashes, went out into the city and cried bitterly. He was in a mourning stage. He was mourning. The ashes, again, I want to say an echo, is the ashes is the result of what's been burned, the remnants of what was. And so ashes were left from the Twin Tower attack, if you remember that. The attacks on the Twin Towers, and the Twin Towers went down, and there was a big ash heap. In fact, dust and smoke filled the air in New York during that time for weeks, and I believe even months. And I remember watching a ball game during that time. I can't remember if it was the Mets, if it was the Yankees, but they were talking about postponing that game because of the smog and the smoke. And I forgot who it was. I want to say it was George W. Bush that said, "No, we're not calling off the game. We are going to have this ball game, and we are going to show these terrorists and show the world that we're going to continue on, and we're not going to let them stop us." And they had that ball game. And so once upon a time, baseball saved America. What a blessing. What a blessing. But nonetheless, there was ashes there. And ashes are the devastations of life. It's the pain that stays. It's the failures that are present. So thank God he doesn't leave us in our ashes, amen. Thank the Lord he doesn't leave us in a sackcloth. He has a way in the process of time and the warm embrace of the Holy Ghost to give us a turban or a bonnet of beauty instead. And at this point, I would have put my bonnet on and said that God is good. So you're looking at my imaginary bonnet tonight. God has a way of inserting some beauty and allowing some beauty to come out of bad experiences. It happens all the time. Let me say this, the Jews were saved by Esther's bravery, beauty from ashes. Job received double blessings in the end, beauty from ashes. Job sat upon the ash heap, didn't he? Yeah. And America is much stronger and braver and bold as a result of the ash heap on 9/11. God tonight gives beauty, not instead of ashes, but he can give beauty for ashes. And at times he does give beauty just because he's beautiful. God has a way of bringing beauty from tragedy. We wouldn't have chosen tragedy. We wouldn't have chosen these hard dilemmas that we face setbacks, heartaches, broken dreams, disappointments. We don't choose that. Yes, God's big enough to step in and coordinate that and work it out, but much of the time He allows things to happen and He lets us find our way through and Him navigating us. But God didn't allow it to happen in vain. Anything, any kind of tragedy, any kind of heartache that happens in your life or mine, it's not in vain. It can't be in vain. And I'm not going to believe it to be in vain. We watch these. Christy and I, we watch a lot of 2020. Dateline NBC. First 48. Interrogation Raw. We watch so much of that stuff. I told Christy, I said, you know, one now, you want to watch one more? And she's like, no, turn that off. I said, me too. Let's turn it off. Starts to get to you after a while. But, you know, there's just all kinds of things like that that we experience, and it's all over the TV, and crime and heartache. And much of those episodes, there would, at the end, especially the first 48, the family will be out by the graveside. Somebody got murdered. And they would release balloons, but they would start up some kind of, I don't know, operation, some kind of ministry or something in their honor, because they didn't want that needless act of violence to happen in vain. And so they're carrying on their loved one's name, honoring it through a ministry or some kind of operation. And listen, whatever happens in our life, sometimes we are the author of. Other times, it's just through providence. You didn't ask for it. You didn't want it. It just happened. But I'm just of the persuasion that anything that passes through my life, knowing I'm a child of God, isn't going to be in vain. There's a purpose. There's a reason. I may not agree with it. I just may have to surrender to it. But there is a purpose for everything. Roses are beautiful, but they have thorns. We can't experience God's roses without the thorns. Same for Christ. Christ wore the crown of thorns. He experienced death, but then came a victorious resurrection. Just remember that we serve a God tonight that can transform us. He can give us a turban, a beauty. He can surround us with His goodness. He can allow something good to come out of something very bad. So God can transform us. Number two, I want to say, God can touch us. He can touch us. Notice what He says. Beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. These three statements are closely related, but there is a difference. Here we see God can touch us. He can touch us. Oil was used for many things in Bible days. Feast times, oil was used. Celebrations, oil was used. It was used even as a perfume. Oh, it's time to go to the feast. Oh, it's time to go to the, you know, to the celebration. Let me put on my cologne. You know, perfume. It's used in a manner like that. And of course, the oil is used for other things, for food and medicinal purposes. But I think about Mary in her alabaster box, and she had a pound of ointment, and it was very costly. And she broke it, and she poured it out on the Lord, and anointed His feet, and all of that. And the odor filled the room. And so there's oil here in the Scriptures. Oil of joy for mourning. Again, today we put on cologne or perfume when we go to a gathering. And what does it picture? It pictures something joyful. It pictures gladness. But I'll tell you, when you do not put on perfume or cologne, you do not put on perfume or cologne during times of sadness. You don't do that. I mean, something bad has happened. You're on your way to the hospital to see a loved one. You're not thinking about, well, do I want to put on cool water or Sauvage? You know, that's my two. Cool water or Sauvage. I'm not thinking about it. I'm grabbing the car keys and I'm going. And so you don't put on oil, if you would, during times of sadness. You just don't do it. Oil here means grease or liquid, and it's from the olive. From the olive. And I don't know if you're sure with the process of breaking down the olive to make oil or not, but the process of getting oil from the olive was a crushing process. You remember the Garden of Gethsemane? And by the way, this was the first olive garden. Okay? It was, I said it, I call it the first olive garden. Don't y'all like olive garden? Okay then. It was the olive garden, the first olive garden, the Garden of Gethsemane. But you know what Gethsemane means? Oil press. It's the place where Jesus sweat blood. He agonized with the Father there. And he looked into that cup. Lord, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but thine. He found strength in his Father in this oil press. He was able to go a little further. He fell on his face and he prayed. He got up and he went some more. He was betrayed, as you know, with a kiss. And he went on. He was arrested and went on went to the cross. So sometimes in life, this is how the oil of joy is received. It's received through being crushed. Being crushed. Now, nobody likes to be crushed. But when we're crushed, we have a tendency of depending on God. When everything's fine, we're fine. And I'm trying to be more of a prayer person. I'm trying to seek the Lord with all my heart when everything is fine. I like to think I do, but I want to do it more. But it's when everything is broken and everything is crushed, then we go to God. And God, He gives an aroma of closeness to Him. If we meet with Him, we confide in Him, we give our troubles to Him. No matter how many times a day, we keep giving Him our troubles and we seek Him, look for Him, call upon Him. He will anoint us with joy for mourning. Now, that took place in the Garden of Gethsemane. Also, don't turn there, but in Psalm 126, verse 5, the Bible says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." Y'all know the law of sowing and reaping, don't you? There is a definite biblical law of sowing and reaping. Those who sow sparingly will reap sparingly. Those who sow bountifully will reap bountifully, whether the flesh or the spirit. And when we sow, we will reap what we sow, definite article. And we will reap later than we sow, a due season. And we'll always reap more than we sow. Taking all of that in and nailing down the point, your weeping's only going to last for a moment. Joy is coming in the morning. Now, one day when Jesus comes, that is our definite mourning we're waiting on. Joy will definitely be then. Crying will definitely be over. The Bible talks about that in Revelation. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain. But I want to say there's a little bit of joy here as well. God knows how to give us the oil of joy for mourning. Not instead of mourning, but for mourning. All right, listen to this. The shepherd would use oil to calm its sheep. There would be insects that would irritate the sheep's fur. It would get all up in the hair and the head area, buzz around. Them sheep would just get their heads against that tree, that rock. And they were just trying to get some relief. Maybe their backside, trying to get some relief. Them insects is burrowing in. And so the shepherd would use a type of oil to calm the sheep when insects would irritate them. Psalm 23, verse 5, "Thou anointest my head with oil." I'm not telling you anything you don't already know tonight, but I'm just saying that there is oil, the oil of joy for mourning. We do have a shepherd who knows how to anoint us to the point where our cup runneth over. Have you ever been going through tragedy, some bad time, and the good shepherd will come along, he'll speak words of grace to you, he will make alive his word, his promise is real to you, but you're going through a bad time, and you're overwhelmed by the contentment in your heart that you know Jesus, and there's a bigger plan, and there's peace beyond your understanding, in so much your cup is running over during the worst part of your life? What is that? That is this oil of joy that God can give for mourning. For mourning. And so we see that there. Oil also pictures the Spirit's enablement in the Bible. Oil is a picture of that, of the Holy Spirit. David was anointed to be king early in life, but later in life he was actually made king. And so God enabled him. I know that was a typology. He was anointed with oil, but at the same time, God's hand, the Spirit of God, was upon him all through his young age and till he got to his purpose. And even later on, David was anointed at least two other times. You know that? What does that say? That says that we need God's continual touch. We need his continual anointing. Don't be worried about the word anointing, okay? We're not talking about anything crazy. We're talking about just a touch of God. A touch from God. You know, over in the epistles of John, he talks about, he says, we have received the unction of the Holy One. Those that are saved have received the unction of the Holy One. The unction means to smear. Brother Celon, you've been smeared for years. How long you been smeared, brother? Long time. The Holy Ghost of God touched his heart, anointed him. He's been smeared with the Holy Ghost for 68 years. And those that have been saved have been smeared with the Holy Ghost. The Bible even goes on and says that no man needs to teach you anything. Now we know, we're here tonight learning from each other. But what he's saying is the Holy Ghost will be our teacher. And all through life, listen, there is the touch of salvation, which that only comes one time. But then there's other touches that we need. God touches us during hard times. God touches us during good times. We just know at the end of the day, especially after being saved for so many years, that he is a faithful shepherd that knows how to anoint his people. Amen, Brother Celon? He comes along and he anoints us. He touches us. He calms us. He restores us. He leads us down pathways of righteousness for his name's sake. By the still waters, he maketh us to lie down in green pastures. Only the good shepherd knows how to do that. And so my point tonight is simply this. On point number two, God will give us the oil of joy for our mourning if we let him. Now, Psalm 45, verse 7, don't go there, I'll just give it to you. The Bible says, therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And so our verses tonight tell us this. It says that he gives beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. And again, the title tonight is Finding Joy from the Ashes. Finding joy. You can find it. You can find it. Let me mention this. Number three, we'll be through. God can do those things, but God can also tune us. Did I already say that? I said touch us, right? Okay. I've got 900 notes, it seems like, here. Sometimes I get twisted. So God can, he can transform us. God can touch us, but then God can tune us. Look what the Bible says. Beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. What is that all about? The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Again, like this, like the other two, not the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness, but the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Before we look at the garment of praise, let's look at the spirit of heaviness. The spirit of heaviness here means to feel feeble. It's through the idea of something being obscure. And the Bible, or the commentator, also said, or smoky, actually, smoky. Spirit of heaviness, meaning a smokiness. You know what David said in Psalm 119:83? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke. That's what David said. What was David talking about? He's talking about how they dry wineskins above a fire. They sit them up there, and the fire, the heat, it makes them draw in. And so our verse tonight says that there is a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Heaviness means feeble, obscure, or smoky. It's also applied in like a lamp about to go out. 1 Samuel 3:2, I'll just give it to you. We know that Eli, the priest, went to lay down and his eyes waxed dim. It's through that idea. Sometimes in life we experience things and we feel like we're about to just go out. Even sometimes we feel like we're going to die. Whatever the situation is and how intense it is. It's the spirit of heaviness. You're weighed down by it. You're thinking about it. It's in your focus. It's in your mind. You're dealing with it. You're a lamp that's about to go out. Like you're dozing off to sleep. You feel like you're about to sleep the sleep of death. It also denotes the spirit of heaviness, those of a desponding heart or a faint heart. The heart has become despondent because of its situation and circumstances. It's weakened. It lacks courage. Is there anybody here tonight that is weakened in your heart? You're lacking courage. You're despondent. You're feeble. Feels like you're a bottle in the smoke. Well, I got good news for you. If you let the Lord, He can give you a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Now, let's look at the garment. The garment here. He says the garment of praise. The garment is in reference to a bright colored garment, which indicates thankfulness. Instead, or contrasted to, those garments that indicate despondency, like sackcloth and ashes. Two different garments. We've got a rough garment for times when we grieve, and then we have this other garment here. And it's a garment of praise. It's much different than this dark, rough garment. This is a bright, happy garment. And so these kinds of garments would be worn at a wedding in particular. In Bible days, they would adorn themselves in a lovely garment. Maybe even the men. I know in our day, the woman goes to great lengths finding that perfect wedding dress because she's happy. And then the man has a tuxedo. He's happy. He's getting married. And there's this celebration that is gathered around these garments. They express joy. They express happiness. Did you know tonight that God can give you a garment of praise? You may be going through things that are crushing you. You may be going through things that are challenging you. You may have the spirit of heaviness, but if we look at things the right way and lean on God, He can definitely transform us and give us a special touch, and He can tune us up. He can allow praise to flow from our lips even while having sinking ships. I like to rhyme every time I get a chance to. There's this garment tonight, garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Now, only God can give us a garment that doesn't fit the occasion. Beautiful garments for ugly situations God gives. God won't give us a garment of sackcloth, a garment of sackcloth for times of ruin and times of tragedy, but God can give us a garment of praise during times of ruin, times of tragedy. Easier preached than lived, but it must be preached. God can do that. And only God can give you a garment that doesn't fit the occasion. Beautiful garments for ugly situations. Listen to this. Heaviness. Talking about the spirit of heaviness. Heaviness contracts the heart. What do we say when we're going through a time of heaviness or we have a spirit of heaviness? I'm having breathing problems. I got anxiety. I can't breathe. The spirit of heaviness will do that. It contracts the heart. But joy enlarges the heart. Listen. Literally, heaviness can cause shortness of breath. So my word to you tonight is breathe. Breathe in the mercy and grace of God and exhale the heaviness that's weighing you down. Heaviness contracts the heart, but joy enlarges the heart. Let God adorn all of us tonight with garments of gladness. Has the Lord did anything good for you in your life? Say amen.
Amen.
Can you look back in your life? Now, I know the challenges of today, but can you look back in your life and see that God has done some extraordinary supernatural things? Amen. He has.
Amen.
So tonight, let us allow God to adorn us with beautiful garments of gladness. Everything isn't perfect in our life, but God is teaching us it doesn't have to be perfect in our life. The Bible talks about in the New Testament, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the lust of the flesh. Something we have to do daily, but we have the Spirit's enablement to do it. The only person that can't put on a garment of praise, the only person that doesn't have beauty for ashes and oil for joy for mourning is a person that does not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They don't have the capacity, they don't have the content, they don't have the Lord Jesus living on the side of them. And it may be hard tonight to find beauty in ashes, but it's possible because all things are possible with the Lord. And so literally heaviness can cause shortness of breath. So breathe. God's good. Lord, you know this is tough. But you're not unrighteous. God, you saved me a number of years ago. And if you saved me, this situation is not going to kill me. You see that? That's not just saying, Lord, lay me down, praise my Lord, a soul to keep. If I die before I wake, praise the Lord, my soul to take. No. It's knowing you're part of Him and asking God to adorn you with a garment of praise. Asking God to give you, for you to see beauty from all the ashes. To anoint you with the all of joy for your mourning. After you do that for just a little while, I promise you things begin to get better. It's meditation. Reading versus meditating, there's a difference. Reading the Bible, you get in the Word. Meditating is when the Word gets in you. And there is a wonderful experience that happens when you get in the Word gets in you. You know you are unified to the Father through the Son. You go into your prayer place and you call on God with all sincerity of heart, knowing He's provider, sustainer, Savior. God will work. God will work. But you got to keep at it. You got to abide in Him. Abide in Him. A lot of times we get down and pray. We get up. Oh, I still feel it. I quit. I ain't praying no more. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I've done that before. I mean, I want to bow down and God work a miracle, and He can. But you see, where is the lesson that's learned? Like I said, Sunday morning, He could have healed that blind man right when He seen him. Then people brought the blind man to Jesus. Jesus could have said, "Be healed. You're blind. I mean, you can see." What'd He do? He took him by the hand. And He led him out of the city alone. And then he spit in his eye, which is a type of gospel eye salve. And the man was able to see. Sometimes, listen, God will just take you by the hand because He wants an intimate relationship. He wants to show you His power. He wants to show you His faithfulness. Listen, if I could ask God, "God, can I bypass all the struggles and there be nothing but joy and happiness in my Christian experience?" I would ask that. Yes, I would. But you know what? I would be cheating myself out of an enriched relationship with my Father. And so that's how the Lord works. He wants to take us by the hand. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." What is that? That's finding beauty in the ashes. He didn't say, "For everything give thanks." We don't give thanks to God when family members die and family members lose jobs and things go wrong. We don't give thanks to God for that, do we? No, if you're honest. One preacher said one time, I was listening to a number of years ago, one of these big name preachers, he says, "If I get in a car wreck and my child busts out of the window and lays dead on the road, I'll say, 'God is still good.'" I said, "You a lie. Shame on you. God is good. But you won't be praising God because of what just happened." I can't stand preachers like that. I'm sorry, I can't. Who seem to be way up here. You know, somebody said, "Brother Justin, don't let the people see you're vulnerable." Y'all know how vulnerable I am. I tell almost everything up here. I ain't gonna hang out all my laundry, but I'll tell you some stuff. You wanna know why? Because I've experienced God's help. And you can experience it too. And you have experienced it. So, hey, let's be genuine. It's like the kids this morning. I was up there. God moved and He was blessing. And I was just being honest. I was talking about social media. And I was talking about one day, yeah, that's a trend thing. One day you're going to be through a school and social media is not going to be a thing anymore. And you're going to be over here rotting away because of all the years you spent giving into that. And you're looking for a companion. And then I looked at him and I said, "You ain't going to go after my daughter." Yeah, that's what I said. You know? But look, in everything give thanks. Sometimes we got to find our praise. We got to find it. We got to find it. Sometimes you got to look under the ashes to find it. Sometimes you got to look in, you know, different places to find it. Bible doesn't say for everything, but in everything. Sometimes we just have to find our praise. Let me mention this. God covered Paul and Silas, didn't He, with a garment of praise. They had the spirit of heaviness, no doubt. They were in jail and striped on their backs for preaching the gospel. Paul prayed and Silas sang because Paul's name starts with a P, Silas' name starts with an S. They were praising the Lord and praying that night. And there was an earthquake. They shook heaven. And God covered Paul and Silas in the garment of praise at midnight while in jail. Wonder what Paul and Silas were thinking of when they were in jail. "I can't believe Silas were in jail. I can't believe, this is terrible. Look, I'm hurting, brother. You hurting, I'm hurting. I'm hungry, I'm hurting." I mean, that anybody would say that, right? The Bible doesn't say they said that, but at some point during their prison experience, one of them said, let's pray. We got to get in contact with God. We have been doing nothing but the right thing, and here we are. We've been beaten. We're in prison. It's dark, and there's inmates all around us. We have got to pray. So they plugged in and prayed. And I have a feeling that something began to turn. Why else would you, sing in such a dark place? Prayer and praise is connected. You'll be surprised when you feel a little prayer wheel turning and your heart begins to be burning. You'll be surprised of how you could change in an unchanging situation. Prayer, praise. The Bible talks about an earthquake, I believe it says. If not, I stand corrected. I believe it says that. The prison bars were opened. The jailer sprang in with the light. He said, and he would have killed himself. And he said, Paul said, do thyself no harm. We are all here. You know what happened as a result of that garment of praise that night? That Philippian jailer got saved. You will be surprised what praise can do. A jailer got saved as a result of that prayer praise meeting. Who knows what God is doing and wants to do in your life through praise? It's hard sometimes. I've said it several times lately, and I'll say it again because I like it, and what I know real good. The children of Israel hung up their harps in the willows. They were in a strange land. And then comes one day when one of the people from that land says, sing us a song. They had a choice to make. Do I pout and do I not sing because I'm not at the church? I'm in this strange land? Or do I reach up and get my harp? And I think about how good God's been. And I begin to play. Although it's uncomfortable and although we're in a strange land, sometimes God requires a song in a strange land. Paul and Silas, this is what happened to them. A man got saved. Listen, Hebrews 13:15 says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. Praise will cost something. And it's not real praise if it don't cost you anything. By him, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Sometimes the Lord just wants to hear it, even when you don't want to say it. You know it's true in your heart. You love Jesus. You know he's been good to you. But because of your circumstance, you don't want to praise. You don't want to say it. But he says that's when you need to praise and that's when you need to say it, because our sacrifices are a sweet smell and savor in the nostrils of God. You want God to get glory? Come to church when you don't feel like it. You want God to get glory? Make that relationship right when you've been wrong. You want God to get the glory? Then it's going to require you of taking up your cross, require me, we're taking up my cross. Only the sacrifice of praise God will get glory from. He says, let us do that. Let us offer it, fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. I'm going to close with this tonight. Y'all remember that song, Come Thou Fount Ever Blessing? Let me remember what point I'm on. God can tune us. Come Thou Fount Every Blessing. In that song, it says this, tune my heart to sing thy praise. Sometimes our heart is hurting, gets out of rhythm. Jeff, you and your guitar and stuff like that, you ever have to tune it? All the time. In my short little life of playing guitar, the girls bought me one years ago, and I won't tell you on camera the song I learned because it came with a book. It's not a church song. It's not a terrible song, but I bought this little digital clip on the end. You tune it, and how to get that thing just right, I can't remember the numbers well, but I had to tune it. Jeff has to tune it. You got to tune your instrument. I remember at Floyd Road, and I think we've had an organist, organ worker come, but at Floyd Road, a piano tuner would come, wouldn't they, Bob Nancy? Every so often, and have to tune that piano so that it would play right. Come thou fount every blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy praise. Guess what? God can tune our hearts. The Bible says he can give beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Only God can do this. Thank God that he came to save us, and thank God those of us that are saved are saved. Amen? It is a whole different life than being lost. I don't know if it was Brother Berman that used to say this. I've said it before. I think I got it from him, actually. A bad day now as a Christian is far better than a good day in sin as a lost person. Folks, this thing's about to wrap up. We're going home to heaven. And so what I say tonight, I say let us, look, the election's over. All right, we won. Now it's time for the church to get to trusting God and doing something great for him. Amen, because he can come back at any moment. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you. I pray that you would just be with us, keep us safe as we go our separate ways. Thank you for the word tonight. Thank you for the people tonight. Oh, how we love Calvary Baptist Church and the people thereof. Thank you, Lord, that they've allowed us, me, to be their pastor. Lord, we have a desire to be a much better pastor and just do things around here that are exciting, God. But tonight, Lord, we trust you. We praise you for all that you've done, how you've worked in the election. God, help us to be, continue to be people of prayer, reaching out to a lost and dying world. And God, when it gets close to Sunday, help us, Lord, think about what can we do to make Sunday a little bit better. How can I position myself so that when I walk in on Sunday, I'm just dying to give praise to God? We may be going through a hard time. Lord, let us allow you to turn it into a garment of praise. Lord, anoint us with oil, God. We need fresh oil tonight. Do that, Lord, I pray. And Father, we'll just be careful to give you all the glory, all the praise, because it's because of you we do what we do. And because of you, we love you. You loved us first. Keep us safe. Bring us back safely on Sunday morning. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. All right. Anything else to mention before we? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. There is a little lady who has a big birthday today. She's not here, but there's a great chance she may be watching. And happy birthday, Miss Charlie. 6 years old. We love you. And that's hard to believe, isn't it? 6 years old. She is growing up. So if you're watching, we love you. We love you and we need you. Happy birthday. All right. Thank you guys for remembering that. Thank you so much. Okay? You're at liberty to go. Be safe.